you do that this morning?
Amen.
What a sweet thought it is to wake up first thing in the morning and say, love you, Papa.
Amen.
Thank you for waking me today. What are we going to do?
Amen.
Bless these feet wherever they go.
Amen.
I'm going to read from Psalm 72 this morning. And as we get ready to go to that, let's just speak to the author this morning before we open his word. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and this place. What a special day it is, Lord, that we can come once again and gather around your word and have Papa back speaking to us today and bringing the real meat of your word to us, Lord. And Father, anoint our ears that we can hear your word today and to feed our hungry souls, Lord. And bless all the ones that's been sick and afflicted, Lord. We know who's sticking their head up and doing all that, Lord. But Father, you sent your word to heal us and deliver us. So let us feast and glorify in your word. Father, just have your way with us. You know, the other day, Father, it was very rarely you come to me, and it's been a long time, but you spoke to my heart and you said, what are you worried about? You have eternal life in your soul. It'll take care of that flesh. You just ward off that spirit and get that word to where it can teach you things. And I ask, Father, you just touch and bless each one here, Lord. And this, Father, because, you know, the power is here. The word is here. And let us speak it, that these things may come to pass, Father, that's afflicting everyone here. Most of all, it's our unbelief. So help our unbelief, Father God, and be with us. And bless all the ones, again, that are sick and afflicted there. Father, I'm not going to name them all. You know who they are. And just touch and bless them. And thank you, Lord God, for letting all of us come through these doors today to stand here on your behalf. And, Father, to be part of this ministry of the resurrection, Lord. We ask these things in your precious name. Bless our footsteps and ordain them. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 72. Give thee king thy judgments, O God, that thy righteousness unto the king's son.
He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment.
The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness.
He shall judge the poor of the people. Shall take the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor.
They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations.
He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, and
Amen.
Showers that water the earth.
Yes, Lord. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth.
He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth.
They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow down before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Amen.
The kings of Tarshish and of Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts.
Yea, all shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. He shall spare the poor, needy, and shall save the souls of the needy.
He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight.
And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised.
There shall be a handful of corn and
Amen. Yes.
The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass on the earth.
His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed.
Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things.
And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the sons of Jesse, are ended. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for the reading of the word.
Amen. So blessed be the Lord who only does wondrous things. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And he gave us a joy. He gave us a joy that the world can't take away. In spite of what's going on around us, as Brother Wade mentioned on Sunday, he said, this is, I mean, death is the closest it's ever been to any of us. But thank God for the joy that we can endure through this thing and keep our joy because, hey, the world didn't give it to us and it can't take it away. Let's sing that. This joy that I have. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. I sing in the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen. This joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing this joy that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This love. Singing this love that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this love that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing this love that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. My, this joy that I have, oh, Lord, the world didn't give it to me. Singing this joy that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This faith. My, this faith that I have, the world didn't give it to me. My, this faith that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing this faith that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's such a great opportunity to worship the Lord. Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to sing You Deserve the Glory once and get ourselves ready for the word, because I know we're excited to hear what the Lord has put on our pastor's heart. But we want to take a moment just to thank God, to worship him, to let him know we appreciate that we can call upon him through all of this. Amen. There's no other place to turn but to him. Amen. You know, someone get the disease, you don't know how it's going to turn out. But thank God we can call upon him, and he knows the journey, he knows the way, and we can rest in him. And he deserves the glory that we can depend on him. Amen. You deserve the glory and the praise your holy name. You deserve the glory, yes, Lord, and the honor, oh, as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you. Just worship him. There is no one else. worship him, thank him. Oh, you deserve the glory. Yes, Lord, you deserve it, Lord. We worship you and the honor. Thank you, Father. As we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name, you deserve the glory. Does he deserve it? And the honor. As we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no like you. There is no one else like you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He deserves the glory. Keeping us, protecting us. Thank you, Jesus. You ready for the word?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as our pastor comes out to deliver what's on his heart. Thank you, Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I to see you, oh my Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, oh, oh.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
Amen.
Lord, I want to see you.
Amen and amen.
To see you high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of
loving.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Just if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. So good to be here.
Amen.
It's been quite a while. And that when you miss services, you know, we can always watch it on the internet, but it's still not as I like being here and being in the services and things, but we appreciate everything because it just all works for the glory of the Lord and honor of the Lord, brings everything to the right place, and he'll get the honor and glory out of it all. It gave us time to sit down and think about, you know, a lot about where we're at and the day that we're living and things, and we'll try to cover a little bit of that today and just an idea, if you'll see what I'm talking about and all, but just we want to thank everybody. Whether it be on the internet, whether it be anywhere around the world, we know they were praying for my wife and everything. Because, see, I never was tested as being positive. When I started out the case, we went together to, then they run the test on us, and she wound up being positive. I wound up being negative. So mine's been negative the whole time, but I still was limited to being quarantined by being with her, my doctor, I talked to him, and he asked, "Was you know, checking on me?" And he said, "Do you think you've been exposed?" I said, "Well, we've kind of been here in the house together for nearly 2 months, you know, a month at least. So I think you can be exposed a lot to a lot of things, you know, because we didn't, I didn't back up. We did just a little. We, you know, pulled back, done a few things. But other than that, forget it, because I've always been one thing. I'm not afraid of anything the devil can bring. Now, I'm not challenging him. I don't do that. Don't do that. You might get in trouble. But I do believe in just standing there on it and saying, okay, the Lord will take care of it. Just be positive about it. And then if things go wrong and everything gets shaky, then you just keep that positive attitude to say, by his stripes, I'm healed. So if I've got it, I'm still okay because I got the God on my side to take care of all of it, you know, and lead me through. But we just thank everybody around the world and everywhere that people are called and everything and committed themselves to prayer. And we just thank God for that. And you just keep praying for my wife. She still has problems with the congestion in and here that's evidently from the sinuses. Cause see, she had that before this ever started. This thing was 6 months ago that she had that problem with that. And, you know, if they would have just listened to her when they put her in the hospital, things would have been a little different because they were running and checking on lungs and heart and things. And she said, but it's up here. And they just bypassed it. They wouldn't even give her a thing. They sent her home from the hospital with nothing. Just turned her loose the next day. Well, then the next time they went in, finally they got enough of them together till they did at least give her some antibiotics to help her. And I'm sure that helped a lot on the doing. But she kept still trying to tell them, you know. And they wouldn't do it. I believe she'd have been a whole lot quicker getting straightened out if they'd have just listened to her a little bit. But that's the way they are, and that's their concern. They said, we're concerned with a major thing, your lungs and your heart. And said, everything's perfect. Said, you have no problems. And they couldn't figure out how that she could be her, what do you call it? Not your blood pressure, but where the oxygen level. Her oxygen level was greater than mine. It would always be 95, 96, even as much as 98, you know, and things that it would be. And, you know, they couldn't figure that out because they thought, well, that's just, you know, it's supposed to at least be down some. But, see, God was there taking care of it, and you still remember it because you still, you know, I thank God for it. Thank you for praying. Thank you. Thank the brothers here for ministering and taking over and doing everything, you know, and handling all of this church and keeping us running and keeping going. I thoroughly enjoyed the services and things. As a matter of fact, I got one thought out of one and one out of another one. And, you know, I'll be bringing these out to you because, you know, it just clicked into thinking. But we'll get into that, you know. But we just thank everybody. Thank the family. They were so wonderful that they just, well, we didn't go hungry. If you notice, I didn't lose any weight. I didn't do that. There was meals on wheels. And some of them didn't have to be wheels. They just walked them down.
Meals on heels.
Yeah, heels and took care of us. But we haven't went hungry, and we thank God for that. Thank for everything, the family, for the cooking and all of the different things and all it's been doing. And just thank everybody, as I said, to the ministers and things around the world. We just all keep praying. I'm like this. I'm just saying this part now so you don't think that I'm picking on anybody or any thoughts. But somebody had made a statement about, said one brother said that nobody being bride wouldn't be affected by or wouldn't be, you know, have the disease, the virus. Well, I'm sorry. I don't agree with that. Now, I'm just, you know, you may do it. That's up to you that you may say, well, brother so-and-so was, well, you know, well, that's one thing for sure. I believe in all of the truth, but I know, too, you don't put it different. We're not immune to sicknesses. Now, if you start talking like that, then we'll start preaching. We'll try to figure out about Brother Branham and all the things in his life and try to make it, you know, if you only get totally negative, we'll get down to talking about him trying to take his own life a couple of times. Just don't get all that built up till you think that you're so great that you're not going to do it. You thank God to take care of it. I like what Brother John Martin said one time. He said, why not pray to keep away the sickness instead of praying after you get sick? Well, that's good, but that's, you know, I'm just that away. I'm saying, you know, Satan is attacking the bride of Christ as much as he can. And see, if you'll notice, a lot of it, he's hit the ministers. Well, see, you know what that's doing. He's trying to destroy that part. And then get somebody to come along with a statement that makes others, you know, get down and out about their thinking about this, that, or the other. Well, that's, you better think about it. Brother Branham said the Lord Jesus sat on a rock and groaned with a headache after raising that little boy from the dead. See, let's just don't get into this glory situation of doing. Let's just be human. Let's face this thing just like we face it every day. I didn't get up every day, you know, scared to death, wondering and thinking. Wife would tell me, say, you stay in that end of the house, and I'll stay in that. Listen, I said, that's going to be hard to do. You know, we're going to crawl somewhere in here, you know, and all like that. But that's, I just do. I appreciate everybody and all the concern and all. And we just commit it all to God in believing. And you just keep praying for her that God will reach down and take this away. And all because he can do it, okay? Is anything else? Let's see. Yeah, Brother Wade will be ministering this coming Wednesday, the Lord willing, and then we've got some changes or maybe moving a little bit on up in the next week or two, you know, so we'll be putting these brothers into line on the weekend because we've got other few little things coming and going, but the Lord will take care of it. We'll all work through and appreciate everything. So, all right. Appreciate you out there on the internet for setting up there with us, you know, and listening and doing things, and we just appreciate it. We keep right on going. Maybe we can move a little bit faster, and we can move back into bringing in more people, you know, and doing things. But we just wait to see how that is. Some of these churches are being hit pretty hard. We have been hit, you know, pretty good, but still we're here, and God brought us through it. So then we thank God for all of that. Okay, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you for the opportunity of being here today. And we pray that you would, Lord, have the preeminence in each one of our hearts and lives. Bless each one. Bless the people out on the internet, the airwaves, and the things around the country. And Lord, if they could see us back up here fighting for you, Lord, and knowing that all things will work together. We just have to wait it out sometime and just pray and see how you're going and what's going to take place. So we pray that you would just guide us, Lord, and keep us and bless all of the ones that have confronted all of these things and knowing that you, Lord, will take care of us all. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. That would be a kind of an odd way of going, but I want to read this. And it's an odd thing to use this scripture, but then you'll see how it comes out, the Lord willing. Verse 19, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Now, if you go over in Romans, you'll find out it comes out of Zion. See, here it's to Zion because it's looking forward to Calvary. Out of Zion is over in the New Testament where it comes forth, you know. All right. And unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seeds, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. But that old devil, he does everything he can. I've thought about it, sister. My wife, they went and tested her four times, you know. Each time it would be three times was positive. The last one had to come forth and be in the negative. Where Sister Rebecca went through, I think, four times. I know she did three or four times. And then it comes out. Well, you know, you can get down and out about that and say, well, what was this or what was that? What are you worried about? You come out of it. Main thing is get it settled and that's done and finished. And, you know, and you say, are you immune to sicknesses like that? No, but in God we're immune to all things. And that's what I was not throwing no stones at nobody that somebody thinks that the bride won't be doing. Well, that's going to be kind of contrary to the way we're going to be speaking today. So we're going to be talking about persecution. Not tribulation now. Remember this and we'll remark over and over. We do not, the prophet did not believe the bride of Christ would go through the tribulation. Persecutions, yes. Troubles and heartaches and trials, yes. But not through the tribulation. If you want these, I got plenty of them laying on the desk. But he said on one of them, he said, you see there, he said, the sixth seal, he said, that's the tribulation. He said, and the sixth seal is all well and over after the rapture of the bride. She's done gone when the tribulation comes in. So it'd be kind of hard to put the bride into the tribulation. Now, persecution is a part of a Christian's life. It's not to be that we're supposed to be put into this world to be not to have troubles and things.
Amen.
See? And no, it's not that way. Those things are part of a Christian's life.
Amen.
See? And really, that's why I said we can stand and pray. Really, do you realize, we listened last night, I guess, not for last one. Do you realize that it's an honor for God to be able to tell the devil? Come on. Satan, have you considered my servant Zach? You say, yeah, but he ain't supposed to get sick. Now show me that in the Bible. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. Right? You say, but now, are you saying that sickness is of God? No, it's permitted. Permitted to bring us to the position, but it ought to bring us to the position of faith.
Amen.
That we know and realize we get through it.
Amen.
I mean, a common thing that we used to think about as a saying, we used to think about a common cold with nothing. But you look at it now and you call it a common cold. You call it a virus now. And it's affecting the whole world. Well, but you see, God's right in the midst of it all. Let's don't lose faith. Let's glory in the seeing what, not the glory that we're sick. I never say, God, thank you for making me sick. I say, God, thank you for thinking enough of me to allow these things to come on me, because the prophet said, Satan cannot put on you nothing unless God allows it.
Amen.
Well, you mean death, heartache, sorrow, trouble, this, that? Yeah.
That's,
are you going to argue with the prophet? Don't argue with the Bible? No? Well, see, we don't glory in sickness. We glory in the Savior.
Amen.
This is displaying His attributes. If we wasn't sick, His attributes of healer would not be displayed. Let's see. We could get on that and just keep going. Okay. All right. Let's see if I can get back on where I'm going. Wade made a statement here weeks ago or something. He was talking. And he was talking about and showing you, remember how that a church age would come forth, a messenger would come and the things, you know, and why that would be, and that it would actually always be because of people falling away.
Right?
People falling away, then persecution strikes the church, drives her to the position that she turns to God. Each church age is that way, see?
Right.
Then, at the ending of all of that up, then a revival comes because of those things.
Amen.
Each church age then had a revival. See, Martin Luther, when that age was run down, he ran out there with that message of the just shall live by faith, and a revival started.
Right.
Well, all right then. Now, I think that the way it is why? Because we'll read one in a minute, what the prophet said. But see, people reject the word of God. All right? They get all tied up. You think about where we're living now, because we're not back there with Luther and Wesley. We're living here.
Amen.
And you think of what things have happened in the past year. You say, well, all I can think about is the virus. You don't think about it like a year ago that the people of this message began to just start falling away. Large groups, large amounts of people that was in the message, ministers that had been preaching 30, 40 years or more, and all at once they just falling away, turning to all kind of doctrines and ideas. Well, then here come a plague.
Yep. Right. Amen.
Brother Branham said, they turned down my message. He said, then the plagues will fall.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Right. That's right.
He said, famine will come.
Amen.
Right. And he said, not necessarily for the food, but said for the hearing. Then he goes on and says, and physical too, yep, but for the hearing of God's word.
Amen.
Right. Well, now you look at it. I'm trying to make this. I mentioned it a few times in doing this, hitting it in the services to get you to think. But you think about where we are now and where we've been and what's been taking place. Well, see, then what do you expect? I expect a revival.
Amen.
For the bride of Christ to turn back to God and realize that, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. These things that are happening out here. I mean, do you ever think about that you would come? We talked about it some, and Terrence and us were riding the other day talking about it, and you just wonder, well, hey, what do you expect next?
That's right.
There's no telling what's going to come next.
Right.
I'm not a doomsday, gloomy preacher. I'm just telling the truth.
Amen.
I've always been, I guess you'd call it, a little optimistic and maybe a very little pessimistic, but
right.
I'm positive about everything, but I know for sure things are going to take place.
Yes. Right.
Do you expect God to pour out? Yeah, because the people have turned him down.
Amen.
That's what your prophet will read what he said.
Amen.
See, when the children of Israel, they went down into Egypt. You realize they went into Egypt as victorious people?
Yeah, right.
They never went into Egypt into bondage.
That's right.
They went in there and for those 400 years that they were there, probably 200 or 300 years, they were the victorious children of Israel living in Goshen and everything running so wonderful. Then they started turning away from God. Then they wound up being into slavery.
Yes.
Right? Right? Yes. They didn't go down there as slaves.
Right.
Study a little bit. Read your Bible.
Right.
There's 400 years down there.
Yep.
Right. And probably 200 or 300 years of that, they were victorious people.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, until Ramesses come off the scene, and this come off the scene. I can't never keep up with who those guys are, but you know what I'm talking about. But listen. See, then, when the people turn away from God, then it's automatically going to come a persecution. I know I've fought this ever since I've been in the message. I know the prophet. I got them laying at the house. If you want to read them, I got a lot of them laying in there. If you want to read them, I try to make myself straight and honest. Oh, the bride ain't going to go through no persecution. Bride ain't going through tribulation. But she's going through persecution.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Why? Because the Bible said.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Do you realize what Isaiah was saying? Do you realize what's saying right there? It brags on and shows up to be in, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard. Well, do you realize that means that the enemy is going to come?
Amen. Right. Yes, that's right.
Right? It'll come to Zion, okay? We'll get to Jeremiah in a few minutes, where he said, you turned down God and done this, and he said, you got a whore's forehead.
Amen.
Well, boy, I tell you what, so, Brother Dale, I ain't got no whore's forehead. I'm bride of Jesus Christ. Ain't no persecution. You just don't preach it right. Okay, go somewhere else. Find something else. Because we're running out of time, folks. You can bank on one thing. We're running out of time. All right? See? If it was another 50 years, we'd be running out of time. I don't think many of you and me are going to make it 50 years in natural life. So let's don't get concerned about it. Well, see, I've talked to the church here. I've tried to preach it for years that I believe in the bride coming through persecution.
Amen.
Because the prophet said the bride is as strong as that persecution.
Amen. That's right.
But you don't want it that way. Oh, you want a glorious... All right, that's the reason I'm trying to take this day to announce this part. You think about where we are now. You remember 2 or 3 months ago when you could not go to church. Oh, yeah, we could have done, you can, go right ahead. But I said. You say, well, oh, and look, what you just think about. I mean, some of you coming and talking about, we're all talking about how that we stayed at home for the first time in our Christian experience. We could not go to church. You realize a pen stroke and we would have been totally put out. You realize, and I'm not for Trump, against Trump, I don't worry about it.
That's right.
But you see, if he hadn't come up with the point of saying, hey, if you're going to keep the beer joints and the liquor joints and the food and everything open, we're going to keep the church open.
Amen.
Well, he may not be no good, he may be this, but he may get eternal life for making that one statement too.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not for him or against him or for this other man and the woman he's got running with him or whatever. It's all got to be there.
Amen.
The Bible says, I put in kings, I take out kings.
Amen.
It ain't nothing to me and you. You can go and vote all you want to. When I found out that we voted and put John F. Kennedy in office, I quit voting. Because when we voted and put a Catholic in, I didn't vote no more. And I didn't want to have it. You realize, Terrence, he gets his carnal point in sometimes, but he's straight. But you realize that we put in the office what the prophet said. I don't care if you vote for Trump or Biden or what his name is. Either one of them. You're going to put in the office. Your vote is going to put in the office a crook.
Right?
That's both sides. Nothing. Right? You're going to vote it in. He said, the only thing we could ever done, we should have done that. Do you realize back when gold was $35 an ounce, if we'd have thought what Brother Branham said, he said the church is going to get all the wealth of the gold and everything, you know, do all this, that, and the other. And it's $35 an ounce. What is it now, $1,500 an ounce or something? I mean, I don't even know because I ain't got nothing to keep up with. I can count. I got 2 or 3 pennies and that's it. I mean, I ain't got, you know. But the point is to look at what we're doing. We vote in the people. That the prophet said this is what would happen. Okay. Listen, because that's what we want to get to. We want to get to something and just think about a point now. My whole point is based upon one thing. Now remember, Brother Branham says, Over, how many times? The bride does not go through the tribulation. Now, if you want a bunch of them, I'll be glad to give it to you. I got one in here in a minute. Let's see. Number 4. How can I overcome? Where he says the bride does not. That's just one. I just wrote it off. You ought to know it. If you don't study the message. See? The bride does not go through the tribulation because she's not got anything to be purged of that. She gets rid of it. That's why we're here now, to get rid of these things. All right? And see then, but the bride has always been a hunted and persecuted little group of people. It's always been that. They've never been the people, if they was in the charge, you can figure one thing for sure, they were the crooks. Maybe the wrong way to say it, but, you know, if you was able to control the world, You got a problem.
Yeah, right.
And that's what we're going to strike in just a minute so we get to the point, all right? But let's go on. See, when people turn down the word, now, this is my point. When they turn down the word of God, all right, back up a year or two and look what's happened. If you can't see that, then you're blind as a bat, and it don't matter anyway.
Amen.
To see how the people of this message have turned against Brother Branham's message.
Amen.
That's what I told you. There was enough old of us, you know, hard heads back there in the 70s and things, that when they come out with that about Brother Branham, we had the wrong dates out there in Arizona, you know, Colorado or whatever, when he was out there with it, and they claim he had the wrong dates. Well, we faced that in 1970, but there was enough old heads until they said, forget it, we don't care what his dates are in time. He brought us to Christ, which is the opening of God's word.
Amen.
But now you don't have them to stand up for that. Well, they started hunting something else. It's like one brother came here, wonderful brother, good little brother. He came here, probably his second sermon or something, and he preached wonderful and glory, hallelujah. And a month later, he was denying the things the prophet taught because he found out there's a date different. If that's all it takes, you can find it. Because that brother said, Brother Branham said, if you see me off on one thing, he said, then you tap me off on everything. Well, okay, Brother Branham was off on the White Horse Rider. So let's go home. Let's eat, drink, and be merry and get out of this junk. No. Light had never shined upon that, so there was no way nobody could judge it. All right? Come on. But you see, the thing of what I'm wanting you to think about the order of events. When people reject the word, all right, automatically persecution comes because Brother Branham says God goes out. I get time to read. If I don't, I'll do it this evening. Right. When the people get to turning that down the word, see, then they start, a little group of people always raises up.
Amen.
And starts crying out for deliverance. It's been that way in every church age. To crying out for deliverance. God would answer that with the next message that was to come. See? Then what are you expecting? You say, yeah, but that Brother Dale, you make the people of this message. Now, I'm trying to tell the truth. Did it happen?
Amen.
Has it happened?
Amen.
Would you ever thought about all the people that's turned against this message? The name brands? Would you ever thought they would have done the way they've done? No.
Right.
Yeah. And poor old people gets caught.
Yep.
Right.
I don't blame the people. I blame the preachers.
That's right.
The preachers are the ones carrying away.
Amen.
Well, see, Jeremiah said, you wound up with a whore's forehead. You know what a whore's forehead is?
Right.
A denominational thinking person. That's what it is, a denominational thinking person.
Amen.
A Jezebel religion, because that's where it comes from.
Right.
All right? But listen. But when the people begin to cry out for deliverance, now look at the children of Israel. They said they were victorious people for a long time, but then they begin to dally around and getting tied up and getting into the world and getting into the systems and all. And they begin to fall away from the word of God.
Amen.
As they did, then God began to make preparation to put them into a persecution. Because what else could he do? You going to blame God for it? No? And what else can he do?
Amen.
That's right.
You realize he's bringing the persecution to save us?
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Come on, that's the way I think. I'm sorry. He's bringing the tribulation upon, persecution upon us. If I use that word tribulation, just remember what I said. The prophet taught it. We believe it. The bride don't go through the tribulation. Because ain't nothing to be purged for. All
right.
But see, persecution always comes The prophet said it brings strength to the bride.
Right, amen.
Brother Branham will say things like this. He said, God wants to prove to Satan that his little bride won't fall like Eve did.
Yeah.
So he allows these things to come on us.
Right?
Right? He allows these things to take place. Right? But follow me now. But I, Brother Dale, I don't believe it. I know the quotes. I don't mean I know all of them. I'm not saying that. That's junk. I'm saying it like this. I've studied this message for 50 years. Out of 50 years of studying something, you ought to know a little bit. Well, I didn't have to go run up a whole lot of quotes when I got to considering these things because I already had them wrote down. Because I've always preached it this way. I've always preached that the bride turns down the word, the bride. Oh, no, that's them denominations turn down the word. No, the bride gets tied up with the world and the systems of things and goes away from the word of God. The bride was the one, and I've argued with ministers from this pulpit about it. The bride is the one that went down to Nicaea. What your prophet said. She had no right to go. They went. No, but Brother Dale, you don't understand. It wasn't the bride. Will you argue with your prophet then? Because you ain't going to take what I say, and you won't listen to this part. There's people on the internet right here probably are sitting there saying, I tried to tell him that years ago, and he still believes it. You better believe I still believe it.
Amen.
And I'm praying for God to send it. I preach the message, persecution. Why? We must have it. Why? Because it's going to drive us to our knees. We're going to get rid of ourselves. One way or the other, God's going to be victorious if he has to bring us down to our knees and crawling to beg him to get everything straight. And are you going to talk to him about it and tell him he's wrong? Help yourself. Huh? But listen, there's going to come a persecution on the bride. We know it'll come on the foolish virgins and the things like that. We know it'll come on the Jews, the 144,000, the fifth seal Jews and the thing, are in persecutions and things, and they wind up, them people wind up going into the tribulation, but the bride of Christ don't go to the tribulation.
Amen.
She goes to glory.
Amen.
And I'm choosing the time to preach on it because to realize and try to knock the little things into our heads to think, as I said a moment ago, who had ever thought 3 or 4 months ago? Didn't you get hungry for the word? Didn't you get hungry for coming to church? I did.
Amen.
We was doing good. We were still using the devil and are using the devil's equipments and the things like that to get the message out to the people. But that didn't satisfy it to me. I want to stand up in the church and declare Jesus Christ to be the same yesterday, today, and forever and tell the devil to go hide.
Amen.
But I ain't going to argue with him. I ain't going to challenge him. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to try to preach the truth because that's all I've ever done.
Amen.
Yeah. But to look at it the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
See, you're thinking that I'm looking at it as a doomsday persecution. But remember the persecution comes. But remember what follows the persecution.
Amen.
It's a revival. Because God always comes on the scene.
Yes.
Every church age, he would do it. They would get away from the word of God. He would send a messenger.
Amen.
And they'd bring the message, and the people would start rejoicing, and a revival would strike.
Amen.
Well, it ain't trying to see how mean we can get where God can send a revival. I ain't never preached nothing like that, but it's better than what most people preach.
Yeah.
You know, at least it's sensible.
Amen.
But listen, let's just read a few. Because that's what I want us to do. I want us to just think about these, and we'll take it this evening. I know we won't get through, so we'll go so far and we'll quit and go this evening. And go ahead with number one. Let's start from, just read Jeremiah. And just remember what it says. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places. This is Jeremiah 3, 2, and 3. And see where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness. And thou hast polluted the land with the whoredoms, thy whoredoms, and with thy wickedness. Now, this is Israel. We know the natural. That's a type of the bride of Christ. Well, you don't know. Okay. Now watch what he says. Therefore the showers have been withholden. If you think it's just for all the other, then I thought we were, okay, let's finish up what we're talking about. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. Latter rain, that doesn't concern nobody but the bride of Christ. Come on, we're going to change it in just a minute, because there hath been no revival. What's the difference in latter rain and revival? It's the same wording, same thoughts as implied. Latter rain is a revival. There's been no revival. Why? And thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. But Brother Dale, I ain't got no whore's forehead. I've got the mind of Christ. Yeah. I'll remind you in a different way than to preach to your heart about it. Remind you of one thing. A few months ago, you weren't able to come to church. You had to be handpicked, even still on that basis of picking and choosing who's getting to come to church, because the government has set it up that way. What do you think they're going to do? You realize, as I said a while ago, a stroke of the pen, they stopped us from having church? Something that I'd never thought of in my life? Hey, I'm pretty smart. Now, I ain't that smart. I mean that as a joke. You didn't laugh, but I mean it as a joke. Because whoever thought about what would take place? I've studied this message for 50 years and argued and fussed with people about the persecution points and the thoughts and things for 30 to 40 years. Trying to figure out, how is this going to take place? Brother Brown will say something here, and then he'll say something there. And he'll say, now this has got, and he'll say, that's thus saith the Lord. And the minute he'll say something that sounds like totally contrary. See? I wonder, did God show him everything? When he gets to the point, one time he said, I'm presuming. He said, now listen, I'm not prophesying. I'm presuming. I'm not saying he didn't know what he's talking about. I'm wondering how much he did know. When he made that statement there years ago, I mean, it struck me. What? He said, one day it'll come, he said, black and white will die fighting again and die like flies. Well, I thought that's... The next message, he said, that was my idea. Right? But what are they doing now with all of this rights and the things? He could have been looking at a whole lot more than what we think. Because I remember when he said on the sixth seal, you remember that? He's on the sixth seal. He said, I had to go outside. I cannot tell them that, Lord. It's in the sixth seal. Something that he could not tell the bride of Christ. Persecutions, though. We don't want persecutions. Well, what if that's part of a Christian life? You don't want it? Oh, no, we don't want to dig it up. No, we don't get in front of the train now and holler to the train. Hey, I'm going to stand here. Ooh. No. We don't do like that. We just face things straight up as they are and realize right where we're standing. You tell me right now, you didn't see me run out here 3 months ago and say, but I'll tell you what's so. We're going to challenge the world because we're going to have services every day of the week. I wanted to. When they said we couldn't do this, couldn't do that, but it's the groups and different things, I wanted to say, y'all forget it. We're going to have 7 days of the week, services every day. We're going to challenge the government. No. Brother Branham never challenged it. He had to abide by what they were doing. Remember, it cost him about $40,000 for them to pay off that debt that they demanded on that. When he said, I don't owe them one dime. He said, I'm not going to pay it. The brother got with him and told him, said, yeah, and then you won't be able to travel or do nothing. See, I knew that I could holler out and scream here and say, we're going to fight this. Well, some of you would come in the services and we'd fight it. But what good would it do? So I said, okay, we'll just abide for a while. You remember what I made the statement? This is not the end of all things. It's just the beginning of the end. Well, I hope you see today one thing, if we can get to it. Do you realize we're right here facing a stroke of the pen? And you got your Jews and your Catholics coming together for a covenant that the Bible says will take place. All it takes is a stroke of a pen. How close are we to it? See, because that's one thing that hit me real hard to think about. I'm sorry, I'm just human. When Brother Branham would talk about and say that they'll pay off our national debt, see, I looked at the national debt of the church. Dummy. I was looking at it because they're going to pay off the church's debt. They're not going to pay off the church's debt. Church don't have no debt. Going to pay off the world systems. Going to pay off the world national debt. Then it'll go to the point of the church. Come on, we'll follow Brother Branham. See, we're not looking at things and trying to keep it in a line. We're looking at it what we think it is. We don't want to be in no persecution. We don't want no troubles, Brother Dale. We don't want none of this. Where are we going? But he says, there's a persecution coming. You say, yeah, but now, Brother Dale, that's what I mean. Now, that's for the foolish virgins, and that's the Jews, and that's them. It ain't for us. Well, okay, okay. Then just go to sleep. Okay? Go to number two, which is Jezebel religion. And I would invite you to read or listen to the tape, Jezebel religion. It will be a great eye-opening thing all the way through, and many, many things that the prophet said. Now, listen. And when Ahab was on the throne, you say, he's on the throne. That's right. But Jezebel was the head behind that throne. She was the one that done the leading. Look what she took, the very laws of the land, and twisted them around, and for her own gain and for greed, and made Ahab do it. Now, are you thinking about what they've done? They've took the laws of the land and twisted it and pulled it, and I've told you over and over, you cannot put a church in this town without permission from one of the established churches in this city. You want to talk to somebody, walk across the street and ask the man over there that at that time was assistant mayor, and he's trying to get his church doing. He was a Baptist. The Baptist wouldn't have him, didn't like him. He had to go to back here to a Church of God or something over on the back side of town and get them to okay it, that he could put up a church. That's right here. You better check your little charter things where you signed in these communities when you bought your home. Because if you'll read in there, you'll find out after a while it says you cannot have service without it, you know, of so more, no more than five people or something. But you don't look at that. Oh, Brother Dale, he's just... Go look. Go find out. Huh? But look, because she was married to him, right, twisted him around for her own gain and for greed, and made Ahab do it because she was married to him. And that's the way with our leader today. I don't say he isn't a nice man, but look, what's behind him? Look at your dates. What is it? Yeah, Kennedy, because it's 1961 is the date. Huh? But look what's behind him. The harlot. The very thing that we run here to be to America for. In other words, come over here to get away from it. And the very principles that America is built upon. We, by our own free choosing, elected a thing like that. How many of you voted for John F. Kennedy? Don't raise your hand. We ain't going to zoom in around anyway. But I'll put mine up because I did. I said that's the lifetime I voted. See, then I did find out it was a pretty good thing. Because, you know, about that time is where you find out if you voted for one, you're voting for the other. That's how crooked it was then. Now, look. We buy our own free choosing. We buy our own free choosing. Elected a thing like that. Now, you see why my voice is going to be stopped pretty soon. Somebody's going to know, yes, why. Revelation 2:20. Because it's a prophetess in the thing. She called herself a prophetess. You just watch the wave of sin happening now. Get your point of what I'm talking about. What causes it to happen? What brings persecution? The wave of sin. Okay? Are you listening? You watch the core. Go plumb to the core. You watch modernistic. Watch ungodly things happen in the churches. And finally, there will come a persecution. The Bible says so. Thus saith the Lord. Certainly there will be. Okay, come on. You want to get you off the hook. It's thus saith the Lord, it's going to be for the foolish virgin. It's thus saith the Lord, it's going to be for them. But it's thus saith the Lord, it's going to be for the bride too. Because the rest of them don't need it. It's no problem. All right, let's go ahead. So there's going to be a persecution. Okay? Go up to paragraph 97, which was, there you go. See what happened after that? After the attack, his voice became quiet. Nobody heard him no more. God called him off the scene, said, Elijah, you've done, made your message known to all of Israel. They know it. Now, come up here in the wilderness, get away from them, separate yourself, because I'm going to do something. I'm going to show them what it is to turn my message down. Amen. What set in? War, famine, starvation. Yep. What followed his message back there of the Elijah? War, famine, starvation. Yep. What struck when the prophet came? People turned down his message. What struck? Sure. All kind of depressions, all over the 30s, which would be a little bit prior to Brother Branham, but it was still in the basis of it. You had your Great Depression. Look what's happening all down through there. Yep. See? Thus saith the Holy Spirit. Watch what's coming. Watch what's going to follow. There was a famine. There will be a famine. Oh, maybe not for bread, but for the hearing the Word of God and His truth. All the churches will socialize and go right on into it. Just the same, just like they're already been swallowed up with it. When God sends forth a message, and He tells the people, and they don't receive it, then He withdraws His servant. Now listen. Withdraws His servant and sends His plagues, famine, death. Spiritually speaking, physically also, you watch for a depression. Brother, you think you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival. You wait till after a bit. You just wait long and cry to hearing the Word of God. Now think with me, like I've said over and over, how many times? 3 months ago. You were saying to me, Brother Dale, we've missed coming to church. You was trying to get your name in the pot to get to come to church. Don't you think that's a famine or depression or hard time? I did. I wanted to come to church. I hated to think we'd ever have stripes in there to where you couldn't sit close enough. I never thought none of this would take place, did you? But it's put us into a depression. You tell me it's not, then go talk to your government about it. What are you going to do? There'll be a famine in the last days. The Bible said so. Said the prophet. And not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere hid away. Okay? You know what that goes to, so I don't mind saying it. Those things goes to the point of thinking that Brother Branham's going to return. I don't have no problems with it. I ain't never argued with nobody about Brother Branham going to return or not going to return. I'm just saying that because I'm blunt. I'm plain. See, your mind clicks off and gets over on something like that instead of listening to what I'm talking about. See, just make it to be something. Where did we get to? All right. Number four, let's go to that one because that's the one that I want you to get. How can I overcome? But I can't agree with him because he talked to somebody about it and you'll see the point because I don't see it. But it doesn't pertain to salvation. It's pertaining to the coming of the Lord. He sees the church has to go through the tribulation period for purification. I say the blood of Jesus Christ purified the church. See, it needs no... I believe that the church goes through the tribulation period. The church. Listen. Organization, but the bride does not. See, the church will go through the tribulation, but not the bride. All right? Glory for that. There's going to be a revival. Would you choose a woman? You have to purify her before you married her. See, Christ's bride is chosen, and she is elected, and she is God's bride, the bride of Jesus Christ. Well, that must be talking about the bride, because that's what I want, okay? Okay, go ahead. Philadelphian church age. Well, keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. This verse is not a declaration that the true church will go into and through the tribulation. As a matter of fact, it's a statement that it won't. Why? If it meant that, it would have said that. But it said, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. He's going to keep us. Amen. He's going to send a revival.
Amen. Right.
He's going to send a light of rain.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes,
sir.
This temptation is exactly like the temptation in Eden. It will be a very inviting proposition held up in direct opposition to God's commanding word. And yet, from the standpoint of human reasoning, it will be so very right, so enlightening, and the life-giving as is to fool the world. Well, let's go back to where we was a while ago. Trump's rating went up when he says, if you're going to have the doors open to the brewer and the we're going to open it to the church. His rating went sky high.
Right.
Well, what if he's the Antichrist? Oh, no, 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 that's the Pope. We're going to get to that in a little bit. You might be looking at the Pope the wrong way. You might ought to listen. The Pope don't have to pay off our national debt. All he's got to do is tell somebody else to go pay it.
Right?
Right? and nobody thought, and they think, oh, he's a wonderful guy. Look what he's done. And then you we get up here and say something against the guy. And you know what they'll say to you? Well, okay. If that's the way y'all think, Dara, that we're the Antichrist, then you go pay the bills for your mom and daddy. They're in a nursing home. And you go pay all of that. Oh, it's going to come in like flattery because the Bible says it will. Come on. Maybe more serious than we're thinking. See, only the elect will not be fooled. The temptation will come as follows. The ecumenical move that has started on what seems such a beautiful and blessed principle. What was it? Fulfilling Christ's prayer that we all might be one. That's what that started on. Becomes so strong politically that she bears pressure upon the government to cause the all to join with her either directly or through adherence, however you pronounce it, to principles enacted into law so that no people will be recognized as actual churches unless under direct or indirect domination of this council. Little groups will lose charters, privileges, so forth, until they lose all property and spiritual rights with the people. For example, right now, unless the local ministerial association approves it, in many, if not most cities, you cannot rent a building for a religious service. I just told you, for 20 years I've been telling you that you can't come to this town. It's been tried 2 times I know of, that they put a church right down here in the middle of town. It lasted a month. I'm trying to tell you, we're in the place, we're in the position. Right. But yeah, we're looking for it. Oh, I don't see no tribulation. I don't see no, that's what that's lulling you to sleep.
Right.
And then somebody like me says something like, well, bless God, you go pay my bills then. Because he agreed to pay my bills. Yeah. Well, I hope we get far enough, because if we don't, I'll quote you this, and Brother Ryan says, keep your homes and belong to the Catholic Church. Oh, no, that's not the bride. That's not this. Well, okay. Let's see, how far do we get down? Yeah, it's almost mandatory to be recognized as acceptable to the Trinitarian ecumenical groups. As this pressure increases, and it will be harder to resist. For to resist is to lose privilege, and so many will be tempted to go along, for they will feel it is better to serve God publicly in the framework of this, what, organization than not to serve him at all publicly. We've got to serve him. We've got to serve God. And the only way we can serve God is through that church system. Do you see where it's coming? They err. To believe the devil's lie is to serve Satan, even though you may want to call him Jehovah, but the elect will not be deceived.
Amen.
Yeah? What about it? Going to the next, where are we? Number 6, Smyrna. And if you think this shocking, just wait until the prophecy of Revelation 13 is fulfilled. Now read Revelation 13, you see the image of the beast coming up, and this comes up over here, and this one is killed, and the thing struck, but it comes forth and raises up and becomes a great church system.
Right.
It is strikingly true that the United States of America is in the chapter. The very number 13 is a symbol of this nation. It started with 13 colonies. Its flag has 13 stars and 13 stripes, and there is her destiny in the 13th chapter, right?
Yep.
And this image that is mentioned is this in this chapter will be found all the wickedness of the beast that was before it. As the beast rose up at Nicaea Council, so the image will come out of the World Council of Churches with all ungodly and satanic power to vent the anger of the devil upon the true vine of God. Now, if you want to call that, but I want to be a Drew by myself. It will be a repeat performance of all diabolical cunningness and cruelty. Sure, we ain't going to be destroyed. No. We ain't going to be destroyed. No, not the bride. But she's got some hard roads to go. You say, well, that sounds like doomsday to me, Brother Dale. Go ahead to the next. What we got? Those who fight the humble of God and scoff and destroy, let them do it. And do it they will, and all in the name of God and religion. But they lie. They are not of God. They are of their father, the devil. They, by their deeds against any people, expose themselves for what they are. Let them organize and repudiate the little flock. They will but further reveal to all that they are of the devil. They are the false vine, the vine that murders. Their hatred proves who they are. Now, watch in a minute when it comes to murder, because Brother Ron said you can be killed for praying for the sick. So you get the word murder. Their hatred proves the Nicolaitan doctrine churches who they are. They shall be cast into prison. Yes, they are hauled. Now listen. Now this is not them doing it. They shall be cast into prison. Yes, they are hailed into court and falsely accused and tried and in prison. And that, of course, it is all done in the name of religion and decency and outraged innocence. All done for a good cause. That makes me think of the Supreme Court's ruling on prayer and the Bible reading and things. It's another angry outburst against God. Listen. Can't you see my point of what I'm trying to get at? You don't believe in the persecution because you don't think God would allow you to do it. Well, what if he's doing that for your perfection?
Right, that's right.
Amen. Right, yeah. No, my God's not a God like that. Well, okay. All right. But you see, folks, that's what I said. I've preached on these for years and years, but I chose this while I was off thinking about it. I'm thinking, surely God, how dumb and idiots we would be to not to look down and see for months and months these things are working right in the things of the devil and his ways of doing things, but yet also in God's ways of bringing it to pass and allowing these things to happen and bring it right down to the point to get the little bride to the point that she would call out for deliverance. Yeah, but I've always believed God was a good God. Amen. He certainly is. Let's see if we can get a little bit more. All right, what have we got? Number 8. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And they're going to bring a persecution on pretty soon. And shut up all the churches. You see that? And churches like this, so evidently must be talking about Branham Tabernacle, who is not denomination, they'll use them for storehouse, anything. And if any man goes and offers a prayer for anybody else that don't belong to the ecumenical movement, will be shot on the spot. It's already. That Lutheran minister, the head of it, said so. And it's right here. You can read it right here in your magazine. I love this one. I'll read this to you because I don't want you to miss it. Because you'll see that I'm not doomsday. We're going to have to end it before we get to it. But hold on just a minute. Don't make any difference what they say. That church will stand. All right. Because she's already proved it. We're not going to be down and out. We're not going to miss it. Mm-mm. Go ahead to the next now. Number 9. The Sardisian church age. You know we're living in the end time. It is in the end time that the churches are going to come together. And as they are even now controlling world politics, they will soon control the finances of the world. Then, if you don't belong to the world organization of churches, you won't be able to buy or sell. You will lose all. Those who stay true to God and keep their garments clean from the defilement of this world system of churches, orders will be physically bereft. Now, you look at word of rev, it means you're going to lose all. And like I said, you know, what are you going to do? Hey, talking to my two boys, what are you going to do? Here it comes up. Mom and daddy's too old to work. If you don't take care of them, we're going to dump them. Well, you're going to have to take care of us. Or are they going to dump you? I mean, you'll dump us. I ain't making no point. I'm just making a point. I'm trying to get you to look at a point. All it takes is a stroke of the pen, and you and I got problems. That's why I'm saying, I got a call the other day in my life. Sister called. She said, Brother Dale, said, I'm trying my best to do something you said. I said, okay, good. I'm glad you are. She said, I'm trying to get my ducks in a row. I said, well, okay. I hope you're getting your ducks in a row. You know, what she was meaning, what do I need to do? You know what I've told you over and over and over. We're not the Mormons that put up a year's supply of groceries, but that's a good idea. But you still ought to at least buy up a few things and set them up in your cabinets at home. You may need them in the next few months. What's it going to hurt? Well, that would be me showing my lack of faith. Come on, you're going to live by faith. I'm going to live by a can of beans if I can get them. That's my faith. You say, you're acting silly. No, I'm not. I'm trying to make it look like you're acting silly. Because what does it matter? If you lived out where we do when the power company comes out there and the lights is off for 4 days and everybody else up and down the road's got power and we don't have any, you'll wind up putting up a can of beans here and yonder. You'll buy a generator. You'll do things to try to preserve what you got. We've been without power for 4 or 5 days when the people all the way around us had power. But until they get it connected all the way back to Gainesville, we don't get it down here. Because we're on the end of the line. That's just a natural story to tell you. Yep. Yeah. What is that old statement we got? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing or whatever it is. Yeah. But listen, church, what are we doing? They'll lose all. Those who stay true to God and keep their garments clean from the defilement of this world system of church. Orders will be, church orders, will be physically bereft. That will be presented to them a great temptation to give in. Preachers will give in with the excuse that they will serve God within the framework of the Antichrist beast system. They will give in to the flatteries and banishments of the hierarchy. Listen, I'm not a dummy. I know something else, too. You got people right now that are out there fussing, listening to me saying this about persecution coming to a group of people abroad, and they're going to be the ones. They're going to say, you're false, you're wrong. You're wrong on teaching that stuff like that. Well, you let it come to time when the debts come due, and they're going to knock on my door and want some money to get by. Do you get it? Oh, yeah, you can fuss and argue all you want to now. You're going to do this now. But when it comes to you're hungry, you're going to be hungry.
Yeah, that's right.
Do like I told them at work one time. We was getting laid off the night shift. And there's everybody saying, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I said, what are you going to do, Sam? I said, well, I'm going to get up my beans and my corn and my stuff that I got fixed. And I said, I'm going to make sure that I got me a good milk bucket. I said, well, what are you going to do with a milk bucket? I said, I'm going to milk the neighbor's cow. Because I'm going to live. All right. Says, sorry. But listen. Because you don't like for me to be blunt like that. But the very people that are against you now, for your thoughts, you let them get hungry. They'll be at your house. And they'll condemn you. You mean you're not going to give me nothing to eat? You ain't a Christian. How long did we talk to the lady sitting right out here, Terrence? And that lady kept saying it. You're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to help me. I said, help you is one thing, doing what you want can't be done.
Yeah.
No. But in the judgment, they will all be found naked. They will not be given those white robes. See, the people that reject it won't. Neither will they walk with him. You can't walk in the spotted garments of the world holding hands with the devil here and then expect to be with God. It is time to wake up and to hear the voice of God crying. Now, I'm right putting that in there because of one thing. This message is the life's message that was to strike the earth. Right? We're not looking for another message to come, another messenger to come, another thing to take place. No. We've already had the message. The message has been delivered to us by the prophet of God. We've got that message. What follows that? When the people reject that message, they have no right to cry out for help. I want to hold if I can get that one. Okay. Let's see. Don't partake of sin, they're receiving not of the plagues. Amen. God is speaking. Shun the religions of this world like you shun the plague. That don't mean we don't have neighbors. We've got neighbors over here. We do anything they want us to do. They do anything we want us to. Not talking like that. Shun the religious ideas, the principles, or the thoughts. The doctrines, the denominational. That's your mark of the beast. Where's the mark of the beast? In your forehead. Not stamped up there. Your forehead is where your thinking is at. And see, you've got their doctrine in there. And in the hand, I mean, you've got the money in the hand. See? We're already to that point. They receive not of our plagues. God is speaking out. Shun the religion of this world like you shun the plague. Leave off walking with the world and make your garments white. Repent it with repentance and the blood of Jesus. Go ahead. I'm trying to find one and I'll quit on it. This is from the assuming of the church ages. The false church groups will come together in a world council of churches. This world council of churches is the image erected to the beast, Revelations 13, 11 through 18. Okay. This may seem far-fetched to some, but actually it is very plain for all to see, because right now the churches are controlling politics, and at the opportune time will manifest exactly how great is that control. This ecumenical move will end up with Rome at the head, even though the people did not envision it that way. This is so because in Revelation 17 through 6, it states that the whore, Mystery Babylon, is seated on the beast. She is controlling the last, our fourth empire. This Roman church is doing that with the world church system under her control, will be controlling, and this image, church system, will be obedient to Rome because Rome controls the gold of the world. Now we'll get to that because we're not going to do it. We'll get to that this evening. The gold of the world. Yep. Thus all the people have to belong to the world church systems or be at the mercy of the elements. For they cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast in the hand or head. Hey, now before you throw too many stones, just remember, the bride don't go through the tribulation. And that is pertaining to the tribulation when the mark of the beast comes into view. Sure. I'm not telling you because that's what it is. The image of the beast is erected in the tribulation and different things like that. So sure it applies for that, but it applies where it's at. This mark in the hand is what it means and all. The power, with the great power, the church systems will persecute. Roll that on up. Before we can get to the bottom. The true bride. Now, that's where you'd see he's talking about the true bride. See? With this great power, the church system will persecute the true bride. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching, so forth. Her ministers will be forbidden to give comfort and the truth to the people who need it. But before the Antichrist, listen, in person, takes over, now this is getting on over closer to my revival, okay, this complete world system of churches, the true church will be taken away from this world to be with the Lord. God will catch them away, his bride, for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm not a doomsday. We'll start on these things and pick it up, because if I go any further, I want to go into that. We'll pick it up this evening and think about it. I'm just trying to get me and you to think about one thing. Just look around where we're at in the past year that we've been. We went in the past year, from what I said a while ago, to a people of this message turning against Brother Branham, to denouncing in him and condemning the message and condemning all the things he taught, and going out with their own doctrines and ideas of all kind of forms. Then all at once, plagues started falling. But I got one in here somewhere. I'll read it where the prophet said, that's what you do. You turn against the message and you do, God pulls it back. What did he do to the children of Israel when they were the victorious people resting in the Egypt of their time? They were there. They were the happy people for, I don't know, what if it was 100 years they were? Because it was there 400 years. Really 430. But even if it was 100 years, still, that's my point's right. The children of Israel never went to Egypt as enemy, I mean, you know, as slaves and things. They went there as that Pharaoh put them out there under the greatest land that there was, the Goshen, and put it there and set them up as the people. But gradually they started falling away. Gradually they started taking the things of the Romans and getting involved with them. And God pulled away. Pulled away his presence. Let them go into the persecution. They went under persecution for no telling how many years that they were there. They were under the persecution of Rome, Egypt. But you know what? One day they walked out of there as victorious people. The Bible says they raged Egypt. In other words, I looked that up one time to mean they really just physically destroyed. It got to where that they really, evidently God just must have blessed the people, because if you'll listen to the prophet and then get your Bible and read it, you'll see it. They would actually must have walked up to the neighbor and said, "Have you got any gold? I need a bunch of gold to take with me. We're leaving tomorrow and you ain't going to need it. You got any food?" And the Bible says they raised them. They took everything they had. They walked out of there victorious in a revival. Okay, we know for sure. A few years later, they was in the wilderness of sin. We know it's a continual cycle. That's my point. And through the church ages, a continual cycle. God would move on the scene, bring a message. The message would go forth, and the people would receive it. But then after a while, it starts slowing down, gradually deteriorating from that message of the truth of what it was. And as it does, God sends plagues. God sent viruses and things all the way down. He sent this virus. But this is the only one you'll find in the Bible or anywhere that it struck the whole world. If I'm wrong on that, you come tell me, but I've studied the Bible and this message a long time. This is the only time it's all worldwide. These plagues is worldwide on this one. But you see, we'll get to it this evening when we begin to see that the Catholic Church has the gold. Rome has the bonds. I mean, the Catholic Church has the bonds, the Jews has the gold. $168 billion is what's listed in the Church Age book. Now, that was in 1960. How much is that now? When gold is $1,500 an ounce or something. How much gold do they have? They didn't need no more after that was done. 1960, they had $168 billion. They didn't need another dollar. The interest on it would take care of it. Hey, I remember, I read a little bit. You remember when they put Social Security enacted? You know, Social Security was enacted back in, what, 40s or what it was, the time y'all get the dates on that. You know, there's enough money put in that bank for that until there was never to be anybody have to pay taxes no more. You didn't, was not set up for you to pay Social Security. It was enough money set aside to take care of everything. But it wasn't set aside for you, for it to come to be taking care of 15 babies and, yeah, and all this, that, and the other, you know, and all of these things that the people wound up with in life. My point, we're here. You may not be in church next week. What are we going to do? I got what the prophet said. Me and Brother Moat used to ride around and hunt old houses and things. Said, well, we'll get by a few days in that one. It sure needs some fixing up. But we'd have to turn on a light somewhere and put a little water in there to do something. We was talking about these things. Brother Brennan says meet in old store buildings or homes. They ain't going to shut us up. They're going to put us up. They can put the pressure on to make me and you turn to God.
Amen.
Come on, Lord, send it down on us.
Amen.
Turn us to you, to where that we've got to get back into where that you can not walk away from us.
Yes. Amen.
Prophet said to Dunn, said they walked away. Said God walked away. Come on, musician. I didn't want it to go into the whole thing, but I want to put it. Something to see them, because I want you to get into, I want you to think about it between services and then to listen this afternoon. The World Council of Churches is not paying off the church's debt. It's paying off the national debt of the whole United States and the world. All the gold standard. To pay off the national debt of America won't change it. But to change the gold standard of the whole world. And I'll say it to you like this. I wouldn't think you could walk through the Vatican and look down, you know, $168 billion in gold sitting right there. Probably if you walk through the Vatican, you'd be surprised. You know, if you walked into our, where the money is made. You know, it used to be that you had to have a dollar in gold for a dollar bill that was printed. You think they got any gold in Fort Knox? No, they found out a few years ago that they didn't have nothing there. You ain't got no ability to pay your debts. You got to have gold to do it. But get my point. It's not the Vatican, the Catholic Church. I'll review this. It's not sitting there in the Catholic Church, $100 billion laid out there. No. I ain't going to call names, but you know what I'm talking about. The super rich. The Illuminati. The super rich. Like they said about E. Paul Getty. They told him one day, said, you lost either $1 million or $1 billion. He said paperwork in his life. Well, okay, Sam Walton, yeah. His life.
Yeah.
Paperwork.
Yeah.
He didn't have that money laying in the bank. Them rich guys ain't got a bank full of, a house full of gold. They got control all the way down through the world system. It's not to pay off the Catholic Church. It's not to pay off the, well, what we do now, we owe $100,000 on this church up here at Lula, so we'll just let the Catholic Church pay it off. Don't be silly. It's the world system. The gold standard has got to be. We'll review this this afternoon. Come on, let's stand. What do we got?
Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what death and
Prophet's message to tell us when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard.
No matter what tomorrow may bring, what is left in store, I will praise the Lord.
One more time, anybody have a need?
Oh, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow may bring, what is God in store, I will pray.
See, we know the story. We read the back of the book. I used to. They tried to get me to make book reports. How many of you used to do that in school? You know, we used to have to make a book report. Well, I always loved to read, but I hated to write, to get anything like that. So I'd get my sister to write out the book report, and I'd sign it and hand it in, you know, because she loved to read and write. But my point is one thing. I could read a book. And I didn't read it like you read it. You read it, you go through it. I looked at the front of it, and that little example in the front, it'll always tell you how, the characters of the story. John and Mary, uncle and aunt, Sudie and so, you know, it always told them right in the front of it, a little introductional part. Well, then the last few pages always said, and John and Mary got married and lived happily ever after. I didn't write the story. If the teacher was smart enough and had read that book, I wrote my own story about John and Mary. And I turned it in and they'd stamp that, boy, that's good. My sister come in one day and she did and she... We was running late, and she said, Sam, here's your book report. I said, okay, thank you. Well, see, I'd let her write the book report, and then I'd rewrite them, okay? You know, and I'd rewrite it. I didn't dare do it. And that day I forgot and turned it in where she wrote it. That old school teacher said, I know what you've been doing. Said, your sister's been writing these stories. That's true. Because, you see, I know the end of the story. John and Mary lived happily ever after. I know the end of the story now, the bride of Jesus Christ. Glory. This hunted and persecuted, the prophet will read it as it. Hunted and persecuted, little bride will go to meet the Lord in the air. So why are we worried? Not worried. Happy. Not happy because everything's going wrong, but happy to know we know the story of why it's going wrong. You realize it's going wrong because you're here? What's making the devil mad? You're here. He don't like you. Which is the surprise is, we don't like him. Think about it. You're dismissed. Oh, I will pray. 1 o'clock. Remember, service starts at 1 o'clock. Put the mask back on.